And today, Bob and Blanche, are they the new Michael Hutchence and Paula Yates? The Pope, he's in suite with Paul Keating, apparently. We preview his new ad for the ALP. We've got the latest innovation from the Martin Molloy House of Style. Plus, call the people at the X-Files. We've got celebrity UFO sightings. And joining us live, psychic for the stars, Dawn Rawlings. It's all coming up on the program. Rupert Murdoch has branded a disgrace Martin Molloy. Welcoming you to Martin Molloy for a Wednesday, people, with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's incensed the women's movement by insisting his wife of 3 years quit her job hosting the late news on Channel 10 and start fulfilling her responsibilities as a mother to the little Fullwood Molloys, Tarquin, Kimberly and young Uday, Mick Molloy.
Well, it's important. I believe in the family structure, Tone. A place for everyone, everyone in their place.
You're a traditionalist.
Ah, yes, indeed I am.
And another traditional married couple is, of course, our old friends, Corky and Blanche. What are they up to now? Punching out photographers, that kind of
thing? Well, yeah, that and other things. There's a bit of a furor going on, of course, because Blanche is getting all Hazel's perks after Hazel put in all the hard yards for all those years. That'd be sad, wouldn't it? You'd want something. You're some kind of kiss-off, wouldn't you?
You would.
That's when you'd want your perks. But anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that later. But it's a bit of a row forming. But while all this was going on, Blanche was not far away, going off. Mm. She cracked a mental and angrily confronted a photographer who took the couple's picture, that's her and Bob, as they move luggage into a temporary address at Bellevue Hill.
Right.
Why don't you get a decent job, Blanche angrily yelled as she and Bob unpacked the boot of a car. Why don't you get a decent job? What? Like writing up the life story of a grumpy old bastard called Bob. Well, yeah, that'd be a decent job, wouldn't it? How many years do you spend on that, Blanche? But she's going off. Have you seen the picture? She's ropeable. Now, I've had a look at it, and can I offer an opinion here, Tony?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty safe to say that they weren't getting paid for those photos. Because I've seen them when they are getting paid, and they don't seem to mind so much.
Nah.
Sign a couple of checks, and they can make Kate Fisher look shy and coquettish. That photographer there, he could have shot off a couple of rolls if he just had have spent a bit of cabbage, come up with a folding. Because after posing for several themselves, she'd be grabbing the camera off him going, here, let me get a couple of you with Bob. And all she would have heard when she pushed the button on that camera would be... Okay, now, guys, say cheese. One more for good luck. Smile, Bob. Smile. Think how much money we're making. Ooh, there's your pearly whites. That's a big cheesy grin. Quick, get the other roll of film, Bob. Come on, we're going to pay off some gambling debts. At this rate, we'll be able to go overseas. Got a passport photo, Bob? You have now, because that's how it goes over there.
That's how it works, Mick.
Because the camera round at Bob and Blanche's doesn't print photographs, Tone. It prints cool, hard cash. The other day, an armor guard truck pulled up in the driveway, and all the neighbours had looked and thought, oh, yeah, there goes another roll of film off to Rabbit Express.
Everybody wants to rule the world, and Mick, the Pope file today is just shockers. There's so much Pope news, I don't know if we're going to be able to get through it all, but...
Give it a go.
Well, there's one from New Zealand here. In New Zealand, the Catholic Church is firing off a complaint to the Broadcasting Tribunal after a radio program, quote, subjected the Pope to ridicule. Gee, that could never happen here, could it? The complaint concerns a phony interview with Pope John Paul, which was mistaken by many listeners for the real thing. Apparently. Now, we've actually got part of the broadcast from New Zealand Radio here on tape. See what you think.
So don't forget, the Department of Race Relations sausage sizzle this Saturday arvo, right opposite the charred remains of the first Maori European chapel, just next to the recently bombed Treaty of Waitangi Museum, and just two doors up from the headless statue of Captain Cook. Kicks off 2 p.m. No Maoris or Islanders welcome. G'day. You're back with the Tom and Phil Morning Show. And on the line, we've got the Pope. Hello, Pope.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Phil. I'm the Pope.
Hey, Pope. What are you up to in New Zealand? Official visit?
No. I'm just here to see what's happening in Shortland Street.
Excellent. We saw you at Invercargill Airport kissing the tarmac.
We are just good friends.
What about Jim Bolger? Have you been introduced to him?
Yes, I have. He disagreed with my attitude to contraception, and I disagreed with his opinion of the latest Sharon O'Neill album.
Yes, and it goes for hours more than that. Oh, I love the Tim and Phil show.
I could listen to that all day.
Whenever I go back, I must bring back some more tapes.
We'll bring some back and we'll steal some stuff. We can't get into some trouble.
Yeah, but listen, there's more papal controversy in the news today. Paul Keating is pretty much claiming the Pope is an ALP supporter. Have you heard about
that? Is that right?
Yeah,
well, I think the Pope's been a keen supporter of Paul's ever since he saw him in the New Guinea-style funny headgear. Because he's just looked at him and thought, oh, well, anyone who's going to go the wacky headgear route in public is a man after my own heart.
I think Keating wins on that little challenge.
He does.
I think, the hatful of beaks tops the papal hat every time.
Just.
But listen to this. Keating has used the Pope's refusal to meet key US Republican leaders to attack the opposition about industrial relations. And I thought we drew long bows on this show, Mick Malloy. But Keating said John Howard is seeking to emulate the industrial policies of the Republicans whom the Pope had rejected on his US tour. You following this?
No, I'm in there.
Now, Howard says the PM's use of the Pope to attack him is contemptible. Well, wait until he sees the ALP's new TV commercial. Have a listen to this.
When Pope John Paul II visited Australia, he was shocked by what he saw. Even before he'd had a chance to tonguey the tarmac, he could see that John Howard's vision for Australia was a bloody joke. And remember, this bloke's infallible. So take a tip from the man in the hat. Is Paul Keating fit to lead this country into the next century? Hey, does the Pope vote Labour?
Paul Keating, you got to love this guy. Don't believe what they say. I stand next to him at official function. He never once tried to grab my ass.
The ALP, the Australian Labour Pope. Say three Hail Marys and vote one Labour.
Written, spoken and authorised by John Paul II, Canberra.
Hey, guys and gals, looking for a new pair of jeans that's different to all the others? Then get on down to the Martin Malloy Jeans Company and get into a pair of Liar Liar Pants on Fire. They're just like an ordinary jean with one simple difference.
Mate, should have been at the party last night. Oh, there were babes everywhere.
Yeah, how'd you go?
Well, mate, don't want to go blowing my own trumpet or nothing, but let's just say the ladies couldn't keep their hands off me.
That's right, in a pair of Liar Liar Pants on Fire, tell a few porkies and your backside's going up in flames. They look good, whatever the occasion, perfect for romantic liaisons.
Mmm, that was a beautiful dinner, darling.
Thanks, sweetheart, although it was nearly ruined. How come you were home so late?
Oh, very busy day at the office, yes. The boss asked me to work back late.
Darling, what's going on?
A guy, a gal, an open fire doesn't get much more romantic than this, does it? Oh, Jesus, oh, mother of God.
Liar, liar, pants on fire are so versatile you can even wear them to work.
And that was Gloria Estefan with her new single, and I must say, Mick, quite a good one.
Yes, and time coming up, we'll be talking to Meatloaf, and I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to that.
And girls, Liar Liar Pants on Fire are guaranteed to turn heads wherever you are. Wear them to court.
I can't record.
For media engagements.
So, tell us about your background, Ms. Darville.
Well, my parents are Ukrainian.
And where did you get the idea for your novel?
Well, it's based on a first-hand account. And as a completely original work, I expect it will prove to be one of my
Liar, liar, pants on fire come in a range of styles. Straight, stretch, boot cut, and the very attractive acid wash. Liar, pants on fire. If they're good enough for the O.J. Simpson jury, then they're good enough for you.
How do you find the defendant?
We, the jury, find the defendant, Orenthal J. Simpson, not guilty.
She'll be the judge of that, time. Take it outside. That's the Cranberries with Dreams here on Martin Malloy. Radio Gladiator's on the way, and then in the next hour, it's going to get a bit spooky. Because Dawn Rawlings is coming back on the show, and she's, well, probably Australia's most popular clairvoyant. But I prefer to think of her as the psychic. Does a bit of psychic work for the celebrities. Doesn't like to name too many names, but I'm sure we'll be able to get something out of her.
I'm taking it as a good sign. She's turning up. Because, you know, if she didn't show, probably she had a premonition it was going to be another dud.
Okay.
Mind you, she hasn't shown yet, has she?
No. Not
she's on her way.
But she assures us it's going to be a top segment. So we'll wait and see. Now, also, we've got more currency. We've always got, let's see, there was the, firstly, there was the $150 coin. Then there was the new $50 note. And now we've got a new 20-cent piece. Have you heard about this? It's
no.
The special United Nations 20-cent piece. I prefer to call it the Boutros 20. That's what I'm calling it
rolls
from
off
now.
The tongue.
Yeah. Well, and Gareth Evans, he says, the new coin raises awareness and understanding of the United Nations. And he points out that 20 cents could buy 4 condoms for the UN's family planning program. 4 condoms for 20 cents. Where is Gareth Evans buying his condoms from? Not quite right. Can you picture our Foreign Affairs Minister lurking awkwardly around the $5 sunglasses tree at the reject shop, mustering up the bravado to approach the counter and say, excuse me, I'll have a couple of those totem tennis bats or lava lamp. One of those 50-cent kaleidoscopes, the framed poster of Patrick Swayze, and 300 frangers. Oh, sorry, haven't got anything smaller than a 20.
We now return you to abnormal programming. Martin Malloy.
It's Martin Malloy, where I believe it's time for a bit of
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Just before we get to the challenge, Mickey, what was that story you found in the paper? Joint in America?
It's just making me laugh, Tone. A place called the Crazy Burger Cafe is in all sorts of deep trouble about its burgers. They've got burgers called the Neurotic Burger, the Just Plain Nuts Burger, the Crazy Burger, and apparently people are getting a bit arky about it, you know, insulting the mentally handicapped or, the mentally impaired, is it?
Sure.
And I'm just thinking, wait till they get onto the people who make those Fruit Loops. They're going to get a bake, aren't they? But listen, this, the person who's complaining is complaining on behalf, she's the head of the Alliance for the Mentally Ill, and she's saying, you know, you can't call on this, you can't call on that. And her name's Anne McDonald. I'm going, it's all right for her. She's got a burger named after her.
Already?
Already?
Jeez,
but no one else can get any of the action.
What are some of the names they're using? The Just Plain Nuts Burger? The Philadelphia Sharam? What's this all about? Anyway, but what I want to say about that is that you wouldn't see our very good friends at 4 and 20 having to lower themselves. You wouldn't see the Just Plain Nuts pie, would you?
You wouldn't see the troppo kind of wacky dumb nut pie from the 4 and 20 company. Because they're above those kind of cheap gimmicks.
Exactly.
They make good sturdy pies that could pass any kind of psychological test you'd care to throw at them.
You can show the 4 and 20 the ink blots and it'll just go beef, pastry, chunky beef.
They do.
More beef. It's as simple as that, because it's got its mind on the job. That's why.
They're balanced.
They are.
They're balanced, straight-up
pies.
Why are we talking about pies so much? Well, because 4 and 20 are sponsoring Radio Gladiators. They're turning on the prize. It's a Sony Ghetto Blaster. It's a bloody little ripper. That's what it is. What do you have to do to get this very fine piece of equipment? Well, in the next hour, our guest is Dawn Rawlings, who is, amongst other things, psychic to the stars.
Correct.
So what we thought we'd do is get you people out there to come up with a few celebrity predictions, psychic style. And what you've got to do, firstly, you've got to give
put
yourself...
Put the turban on.
Get the turban. Get yourself a turban. If you haven't got a turban, just a silly name will do. Use your own name, but add amazing or enigmatic or startling to it. So, like, I would just... Maybe I'll be, you know, the amazing Tony.
Okay, and I'll be creepy Mick.
Okay. Well, have we got some spooky music? Okay, give us the spooky music, Gracie, and I'll just do my own celebrity prediction.
What have you got for us, Amazing Tony?
I, the Amazing Tony, predict that sometime in the next 12 months, Greg Matthews will make a dick of himself. There you go. Is that the kind of celebrity prediction we're looking for?
That would seem to me to not really be going out on a limb, Tony.
No, that's a little bit obvious, that one, isn't
it? You haven't let go of the side of the pool there.
What about you, creepy Mick? Have you got a prediction for us?
I believe, yes, I'm getting a clear picture now, that Gary Sweet will host a national awards ceremony.
Yeah, hang on.
Stone Cold Sober.
Oh, you're joking.
Oh, could it be?
And what's
could
he wearing? What's he got on?
It's not a frock.
It's pants.
It's pants.
Incredible. Okay.
I've gone out on a limb.
We're looking for, and they don't have to be, you know, based on actuality. They can be completely surreal. Celebrity predictions. That's what we're looking
for. We want them.
And you've got to have a turban on, or at least pretend like you have.
Have a title and a prediction.
Okay. Call us now. 1-800-657-657. We're playing Radio Gladiators, and it's psychic celebrity predictions, because we've got Dawn Rawlings in after the news. She's the official psychic to the stars. But we thought we'd beat her the punch and get a few of our listeners to come up with their own celebrity predictions.
Yeah.
Who are the psychics today, Mickey?
Well, we've got Paul, but I'm not sure what name he goes under. What's your name, Paul?
No, you have not the wrong name. It is Super Psychic Sally.
Super Psychic Sally.
Okay.
I'm not bringing a very nice vision to you today.
No, you're not.
All right, well, we'll fire up the music, Super Psychic Sally, and you take it away.
Okay. It is the 1996 Music Awards, Australian. Again, Pamela Anderson is there, but not a pretty sight. No, the vision is very clear. Not a pretty sight.
Yeah.
Breasts exploding. Not nice. Too much silicone.
Oh, yes. It could happen. Because...
Funny, because it's true.
Yes. Funny, because it's true. Okay, thank
could
you.
Could be the Unabomber involved.
Okay. I will.
Yeah, I think... Okay.
Thanks, Super Sally.
I've had enough of Super Sally. I'm sorry if I'm cutting him off too early, Mick, but I've had enough.
Oh, no. No, I was right there with you.
Next up, we've got Victoria. Victoria, what is your psychic name?
Victoria Victorious.
Oh, okay. And you're going to be victorious in your prediction. Take it away.
Hello, everybody in Radio Land. I predict that Kerri-Anne Kennelly and Rolf Harris will make a duet together this coming year, and that he won't make much money from it, so he decides that he will give his third leg to organ donation research.
Okay, that's very spooky, Victoria, but that was actually our gladiators yesterday.
Yeah. I'm going to make a prediction and suggest you didn't get through yesterday, and you've just rung up again, haven't you?
Well, you could say that.
Just dressed it up with a few psychic trappings. Okay,
we like it, though.
Yeah, that's very impressive. It shows initiative. But have we got Psychic Stephen on the line?
Yes, this is Psychic Stephen.
Psychic Stephen, that'll be your name?
No. It's Astro Boy.
Oh, okay. Pardonnez-moi. We'll take away with your prediction.
I predict in the near future, after recent experience with the piggery, Paul Keating will invest in a nunnery. So after the next election, he and his family will be finding refuge there and then walking off into the hills in safety.
Right. And this is because of, the Mr. Keating's newfound, relationship with the Pope. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, no, he ran a piggery okay, and there's nothing can go wrong in the nunnery, so I think he'll be safe in investing in that.
We can take your word for that, Astro boy.
Thank you.
I reckon you should stick with that, just in ordinary life.
Astro
Steve,
boy.
Change your name to Astro Boy.
Yeah, I wish I could fly like him, but...
Just sign your checks, Astro Boy.
Wouldn't put it past you, Stephen.
See what happens. Get back to us.
Okay, who's next, Mickey? I believe it's Shaylada, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, Shaylada, and we're going to get straight into your prediction now. What would that be?
This is Shaylada, and I feel that Doris Day is going to pass away in the next week of intestinal cancer.
Have you got any actual medical evidence to support this claim?
Hey.
Uh-oh. I think that was the Unabomber.
I'd like to make a prediction that we're going to have to get out of the studio quick smart today because that could be trouble.
I think so. Shalada.
Okay, Shalada.
And I just hope that that's not true because as we're big fans of Doris Day's work
Doris
on the
Day?
Program.
What a savage prediction. What did Doris Day do to deserve that? Shaylada's had nothing better to do. She picked up the phone. She goes, might just take the spring out of Doris Day's step.
That Doris Day has been getting away for it for far too long.
Ever since Annie Get Your Gun, I've always maintained her intestines were ripe for the big C.
All right, have we got time for one final prediction? Who have we got, Mickey?
We've got David on the line, and you go by your very spooky and psychic name of...
Little Johnny.
Okay. Right. Okay, Little Johnny. That's not a very credible name. I wouldn't go and get, you know, predictions from Little Johnny, but
no.
Let's see what he's got to say.
They're good.
Yeah. Okay, go.
Like an ice boy with my little crystal ball eyes, that first of all, the Liberal Party and the National Party were going to get a policy together, and further down the track, the Bronwyn Bishop and my good mate, Timmy Fisher, are going to have a secret affair on top of Paul Keating's office desk. And prediction...
Little Johnny, are you meant to be John Howard? Is that the idea?
Yeah, Little Johnny Howard.
Does that sound like a Little Johnny Howard to you, Mick? Or
my prediction is that tomorrow, David... Everyone's going to be wandering around asking you, was that you doing that really crap John Howard impersonation?
I think it might be. I don't think Little Johnny is our psychic.
I don't think so.
And we've already lost Shalita, despite the charm that she injected into the program. Mm. So who's it going to be?
So I think we've got to go back to exploding breasts and the man. He didn't have the guts to say it, but he was kind of guru-ish to me.
Okay, Paul!
You there, Paul?
I am here.
You got any predictions about Doris Day by any chance?
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be.
Good on you. You've just got the ghetto blaster.
Oh, you beauty.
Okay. You would have known
That's good.
Paul.
Yes, you are well aware of your prize there, and it's all courtesy of 4 and 20 pies, and you've gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva. How do you think you'll do on that one?
Number one, I've won. I can see it. That must be.
Okay, you've got to wait about 5 weeks to find out how that turns
out. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for playing Radio Gladiators.
Ah, pleasure.
And stick around, people, because we're going to have a bona fide clairvoyant with us in the next hour, one Dawn Rawling.
And in this hour, celebrity UFO sightings. But next up, as Don Lane used to say, time for a bit of spooky stuff. As we welcome psychic Dawn Rawlings, and it's all courtesy of Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Mick, we've just had a call from Doris Day. She's feeling a lot better. It was just a bad burrito, apparently. You know, Doris, she just eats out of the 7-Eleven.
She bought a crazy burger.
Went down the wrong way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and her new duet with Nick Cave will be in the shops next week, so keep an eye out for that. What better way to introduce our guest today? Someone who's, written a book all about the concept of angels.
Mm-hmm.
It's, Australia's most popular clairvoyant, Dawn Rawlings. Welcome on board, Dawn.
Well, great to be here.
Did you hear the segment earlier?
I did. Some of them are quite good.
Do you have, when you're making a prediction or anything, do you have spooky music to accompany you? Have you thought of the idea of spooky
music?
No, I haven't.
Do you think I should?
No, just for a bit of showmanship, you know. Maybe you should get yourself a cape, a turban.
Oh, no. At my book launch, a photographer said, "Dawn, can we find a scarf or something put over your head because you don't look like a clairvoyant?" And I said, absolutely not.
Well, it's interesting. I'm happy to hear that because every time we get photographers in here, they go, "Hey, guys, you're comedians. Can you put some funny hats on?" So there something about photographers and headwear, isn't it?
I think there is. I think they need a course in non-headwear.
Now, Dawn, you specialise in the future, but we'd like to travel back in time, if we could.
Ooh.
Back to your, well, the distant past when you were getting airborne in this caper. Now, how did you first learn you had a propensity for this kind of gear?
How did I first learn?
Mm.
Well, actually, I think the first things I knew, I always knew that we lived in a big white house on a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother used to say we never did, but we did. But I found that house in L.A.
All right.
We're talking past life?
Past life.
Oh, okay.
I found it the day they were building
over
it.
Wasn't the White House, was it?
No, it was in L.A.
Oh, okay.
But it was on a corner and they were building over it the day I found it.
Mm.
Now, you can't tell me that's a miracle to find it the day, you know, prior to it being all sort of covered in.
Mm. How do you know that was your house?
Well, I just knew what the house looked like and I just knew where I'd find it. And I did.
And did you pop in and knock on the door and say, "Get out of my house"?
No, I just stood there and took some photos of it.
Right.
But see, my mother used to think I was mad because my parents were Jehovah's Witnesses. And they didn't encourage this sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
But also, too, we used to travel to my grandfather's old house in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were there, I used to be put to bed at night. You know those great big old beds with the brass beds and there was sort of, you know, no power. It was very, very prehistoric. And grandfather sort of lived in the past. And I used to be put to bed in this really, you know, not grotty, but really icy cold room with all the big beds and the big sideboards and things.
Mm-hmm.
And this man used to come and sit on the end of my bed and talk to me. He looked as real as you guys do.
Yeah. So yeah. Does that make the Queen a psychic? Because she's had a bit of that kind of action.
Yeah, but I think that guy was living in this time, yeah.
I don't know whether you're psychic, Dawn, or just popular with the locals. I mean,
no, but this was the local. His picture was on the wall, but he'd been gone for decades.
Right, so obviously a couple of signs there.
That was my Uncle Harry.
Uncle Harry.
He's in my book. He's in my book, Uncle Harry.
You didn't just see Uncle Harry from the Sullivans on the telly one night.
We haven't read the book. Could you maybe...
You haven't read it.
Well, we were hoping you'd just...
How come you haven't read it?
We're busy boys. We're busy still trying to get through Max Walker's last book. We got books piling up around here doing. I'm still grappling with the autobiography of the captain from the Love Boat. So it's going to take me a while to get around to this. But tell us all about it. So I can see Angel. Can you?
Yeah, I can see angels.
And they're everywhere?
A lot of people are seeing them more often. No, not everywhere. When I was little, I don't see them as people with wings, which will probably disappoint a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a black one on the cover of my book. How come they always depict angels as Anglo-Saxon with, you know, fair hair and...
Should have seen that coming, don't
blonde, you know, and blue
I'd like to see an angel looking like Urkel. Okay, well, let me get this right. So, okay, so we've got past lives, we've got a bloke sitting on the end of your bed, and we've got angels. Well, let's throw it all into the pot and get some psychic action happening on the program. Can you stick around for a while, Dylan?
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be next on Martin Malloy. You two with Angel of Harlem. And look, Pat, I've got wings. It's amazing. And this has all just come out of the computer. This is all completely at random. What do you make of this, Dawn?
Wow. No such thing as a coincidence.
Is that right? There's all, an explanation? It's the angels again?
Must be the angels. Are
they watching us now?
Yeah, you've always got guiding angels with you, always.
Always?
Always.
And how do they help? Like, you know, I mean, if I'm in trouble, how do I go, "Hey, angels, pull your weight"?
Oh, no, be polite, because you don't have to whinge and whine and, you know, and hope they help you. All you got to do is say, "Hey, guiding angels, I need some help." I want to find a parking spot.
In fact, there's a lot of that in Victoria at the moment. It's actually quicker than calling for an ambulance, apparently. People, you know, hauling over and going, forget the ambos, go for the angel option. So be kind, don't bake them. There you go. Don't bake your angels. That's Dawn's advice.
Well, sort of, yeah. But no, they're always there, and you can have more. You can always call on financial angels.
Could I have Tones Angels? If I wanted one of Tones Angels, could I organise a deal?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Tony about that.
It'd be like an exchange program.
I'll give you one of mine for one of yours.
You might be losing the best one.
It'd be like a footy. Oh, you know, what's that called when they, you know, you call in someone from another team?
Yeah, I'll give you my last angel. You know that last angel that's always picked on the team, like Abby? I'll have you. And there's that one angel at the end who's always picked last. That's the one I'll give to Tony.
Okay, look, I think we've taken the mickey out of Dawn's Angels concert.
Oh, I'm into it.
Quite enough. And Dawn, you've got a whole lot of cards. People at home can't see this, but you've got cards everywhere in the studio. What are you up to?
I've got the crystal cards. Now, these I brought out early this year, which saves me carrying dozens of crystals around and rubbing them together and damaging them because they're millions of years old.
Right, these are Dawn's own brand cards, crystal cards. They're not your dodgy ones you get from down the supermarket. These are the proper gear. Yeah,
they don't have pictures of, like, women in bikinis on the back.
Oh, no. Strictly pictures of crystals.
Okay.
Well, now, what can you do with them?
Well, we can tell you a bit about Tony here from this. Do you want to do that, Tony?
Yeah,
dive in. Well, it says here the very strong Gemini influence over your work and that you work with Capricorn.
Right.
See?
Well, I'm a Cancer.
Oh, okay.
I can be Capricorn. Emma over there is...
Our assistant Emma. Capricorn, correct. Absolutely correct. Have we got some spooky music for that, Gracie? That's correct.
Yes.
And who's your Gemini?
Well, that's me. I'm the Gemini.
Yeah. Good. Well, your work looks stable, but you've got a lot of indecision around home.
Oh, well.
There's been a lot
of trouble with the re-stumping, so that could explain it.
You've got a Cancer around you daily. You've Dawn Moonstone, which is Cancer. Know who that is.
This bloke over here. Yeah.
But look, with your health, your
energy...
And
he's a good bloke, that Cancer too, isn't he?
Listen, with your health, you got your energy levels are really going to pick up.
So
he's going to be sort of like hypertensive, so you're going to have to...
I just stand at the photocopier all day, just punching out 100 copies and nothing. That's how much energy I've got.
So take him off the coffee and get him on chamomile or something.
Yeah.
But look, you're very lucky. Look at your house of personality. Woo.
House of personality?
Yeah.
That was one of the names for this program that we rejected, wasn't it? The house...
Tell us about his house of personality.
Excellent personality. You've probably got Virgo rising or something. You might be Gemini, but you've got Virgo in your chart. Have you had your chart done?
Oh, I haven't had the chart done.
Which is Dawn Black Opal, and Virgos are very lucky. Did you know that?
I'm writing it there.
Look around your tone.
It says you've got a great personality and you're very lucky. How right am I?
Hang on. And it also says I'd like to work for the UN and with children.
No. It doesn't say that at all. But you do have a strong American influence around you.
Really?
That'd be the boffins from the station. We've got guys come out from America and basically go, okay, you're doing a great job. That'll be $20,000 and piss off again. So you're
maybe
right,
that's the American influence.
Is that the American? No, I feel that you'll be going there. But listen, you've got a leisurely trip into the hot sun. They're going to give you some holidays.
No, I think that means I'm about to be sacked, Dawn. Mr. Martin, quick leisurely trip to the sun.
It doesn't mean that.
Okay.
And look, you'll always make money out of communications. You've got citrines, which attract money, in your house of communications.
Well,
and Taurus.
That never happened at the ABC.
I'm sticking with you, Tone. You're just a big cash cow.
Well, that's all.
Give me some of that action.
That's all good news, Dawn. So,
but you never give us the bad news, do you? Give us something ugly.
Yeah, what's that one with the skeleton?
there's no skeleton.
Just burst into flames all by itself.
Okay. I'll give you something a little ugly. Who's your Scorpio?
Scorpio. Have we got any Scorpios in the room?
Have you got an older Scorpio, like a relative, really old one?
Oh, I'm not sure what star the Rellos are, but I'm assuming it's
Doris Day. I think it's a Scorpio.
I'm assuming it's one of my nuts uncles. What have they got to say for themselves?
Oh, no, I'll tell you that off air later.
Uh-oh, there's going to be trouble. We'll talk about that in a moment.
We've done it, haven't we?
You could inherit from a Scorpio.
Really?
Maybe they'll give it to you before you
go. So this is good news.
Before they go, they might give it to you. That'd be good news, wouldn't it?
Okay, well, we haven't got time for an actual card trick from you, Doris. So you're going to have to put them away. And thanks for coming in today.
The book
again,
Tone?
Well, that was great.
The book is called I Can See Angels, and it's all bona fide. It's a true life adventure. That's what it is, from Dawn Rawlings. It's out now, and thanks for coming in today, Doris.
And can I just say where it's available at?
Where
is it?
Available
at Dimmicks and all the New Age stores and Quest. Be distributed.
Yeah, and if you see Dawn, just flag her over on the side of the freeway and she's got a couple of hundred of them in the boot. So thanks for coming in today. Dawn Rawlings on Martin Malloy.
Good evening. I'm Kerry O'Brien. For the last few weeks, Channel 9's 60 Minutes has been running stories about a bizarre cult leader, a man who believes he's Jesus Christ and who casts a spell over his legion of followers. Here's Richard Carlton.
The cult makes its home here on Sydney's North Shore.
Why did you choose this location?
Well, it's convenient, and most of my followers live round here anyway.
That's right. This dangerously deluded current affairs show host believes he can communicate with thousands of Australians who have never even met him. These viewers, as he calls them, are collectively known as the Pod. So you believe you're somehow in contact with these people?
That's right. Every week I speak to them and they listen.
But what about those who say you're just an arrogant buffoon with an overinflated sense of his own importance?
Oh, come on, man. Where are you getting your facts from? I'm Richard Carlton. If you want to talk to me, son, you'd better do your homework.
When we accused him of being an egotistical prat, a letter from Carlton's lawyers claimed his attitude was merely the outer symptom of a prolonged meditative state. But what about Carlton's victims, those who place their trust and indeed their futures in his hands?
To report he did on the futures market when he said the Dow Jones would rise in the third quarter, well, believed him. We've lost everything, and as you can hear, every time I say name, there's an annoying beeping sound.
And then there are those who have suffered irreparable damage from prolonged contact with Carlton.
I used to be quite a pleasant and likeable bloke, but after several weeks of watching 60 Minutes, I found myself becoming arrogant, smug, up myself, using phrases like, oh, come on, man, and this is preposterous.
Many are alarmed by the fact that children are exposed to Carlton every week.
Look, this is arrant nonsense. They're free to change over to funniest commercials any time they want.
And Carlton's control of his followers is of particular concern to several genuine cult leaders.
I think what he's doing is bad. Unlike many of us, he's very articulate and stuff.
So, what now for you?
I'm just waiting till next year, and hopefully I'll get a spot on one of the footy shows.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.